Right through the election campaign, indeed, for months leading up to it, the government has assured us that Australia will meet its emissions reductions targets in a canter. That's the phrase. But the federal government's own data shows that, once again, emissions are continuing to rise. 0.8% up in the December quarter. There's some good news in that. Emissions are falling in the electricity sector, but they are rising at record levels pretty much everywhere else, in particular through LNG production. And that's an area which is set for massive expansion in coming years. Matt Canavan is the Minister for Resources and Northern Australia. Minister, welcome.
G'day, Jonathan.
The carbon emissions risen for the fourth consecutive year. Does the government still maintain that we'll meet those Paris targets in a canter?
Well, I'm confident we will, Jonathan. As I'm sure you're aware, we are significantly meeting and beating our Kyoto targets, which were or are due in 2020. We'll meet them by a margin of hundreds of millions of tonnes a year. There has been a reason, as you've outlined, for the increase in carbon emissions in the last few years, and that's coincided with the conclusion or commissioning of around 11 LNG trains in Australia. We've catapulted to be the world's largest LNG exporter. We exported around 20 million tonnes of LNG a year about 6 or 7 years ago. And today it's approximating nearly 80 million tonnes per annum to be the world's largest exporter. So that comes with increasing carbon emissions here in Australia, but it is important to point out that that actually helps other countries lower their carbon emissions because it generally replaces coal or sometimes dirtier forms of energy production.
And it's a global issue, so that is the plus. I mean, the deeper trend around our carbon emissions is that they've been on the increase since the end of the Gillard government's pricing scheme.
And that has coincided with these LNG. They're big projects. Now, they're not going to continue. There's not going to be another 11 LNG trains built in the next 4 or 5 years in Australia. I do hope we continue to expand our gas exports, and there's opportunities to do that, but not at the same scale that we achieved in the last 4 or 5 years. So our projections remain that we will meet our Paris commitments over the next decade as well. As you mentioned, we are already exceeding those, and we'll certainly meet those in the electricity generation sector. We have, during the election, put in place a climate solutions fund to help fund further reductions in emissions, and our previous direct action plan or emissions reduction fund worked very well in that regard, so we're confident that will continue.
The fall in the electricity sector, there's a big responsibility there on renewables reducing those emissions.
That's right. There has been significant investment in renewables in Australia, although a lot of the reduction has also come from the closure of coal-fired power stations. We're probably not going to be able to continue to do that given we need to maintain a reliable supply of power, but again, we're already basically almost there meeting our Paris commitments in the electricity generation sector.
It's interesting what you say about LNG exports, and yes, we create carbon in the extraction here, but in the countries to which we export, they can reduce their emissions. This is almost the sort of the inverse position of exporting coal from mines like Adani, for example.
Yeah, look, it's a bit of a quirk of the way carbon accounting works. It's on a production basis. Obviously, as you mentioned, it's a global issue. We've got to reduce carbon emissions, but then we need to find a way we allocate emissions on a national basis, because obviously that's how policy is decided across the world. And in the case of coal mining, there are some emissions associated with coal mining called fugitive emissions, but they're a relatively small part of the emissions that form the coal energy supply chain.
But there's, of course, massive emissions when that coal is burned.
Right, most of the emissions occurs when you burn the coal in a furnace, which occurs overseas, of course. In the case of LNG or gas exports, there's significant energy used in liquefying the gas. It's getting it to a very low temperature that can compress the gas so it could be stored easily in a ship. And while the whole supply chain of gas is better from a carbon emission perspective compared to coal, more of the carbon emissions in the supply chain occurs in the exporting country like Australia than compared to coal. That's just natural production process of gas versus coal.
Let's come back to coal in a moment, but just on that issue of our national emissions, the whole point of the Paris Agreement is for countries to reduce their emissions. Now, we're getting towards meeting our Paris targets in large part through sort of accounting mechanisms. I mean, it's clearly not through reducing the emissions of the country. We're seeing them year on year going up.
Well, they are down significantly from I'm sure you're aware, our Paris commitments are reductions from 2005 levels, and our carbon emissions are significantly down from those levels. Now, notwithstanding, as we've already outlined, in the last few years we've had this surge in LNG exports, our emissions would be reducing but for expansion of LNG exports. And as I say, that's not going to continue at the same pace going forward.
Let's go to coal and go to that issue around the Adani mine. And the discussion continues about that, as it has done since 2010. But in a context increasingly of coal-fired power stations closing down around the world, news today that the Taiwan is shutting down a thermal coal-fired power station to build gas turbine power stations, and perhaps in receipt of our exports. But they too are a big export recipient of our thermal coal. Even the Kentucky Coal Museum, Matt Canavan, has installed solar panels. Does the Adani mine, it's sort of a culture war talking point, but does it make any kind of economic sense?
Absolutely it does. So take obviously a lot of the coal from the proposed Adani mine is due to be exported to India. Going back to 2017 now, the last recorded year, India installed 50 times the new capacity in coal that it did in renewable power. There's a big increases in renewables in India, but it's dwarfed still by the increases in coal production in that country.
But with the price of thermal coal where it sits now, does it make sense to have the mine here, which, according to the figures that are widely reported, attains viability at a thermal coal price of about $110 US a tonne, and we're well short of that currently?
Well, I'd question some of that analysis, particularly some of the assumptions that are made by, I think, the analyst you might be pinpointing around the strip ratios and the Galilee Basin are off, but that's very technical detail. But look, I generally support a system where it's not governments double-guessing investment decisions. We're not in the best place to make those decisions, of course, if someone wants to spend billions of dollars investing in Australia, creating thousands of jobs, as long as that complies with our environmental regulations, our commitments to international agreements, which is clearly does, great for Australia. And it'll be a great thing for the world too, because it'll help the Indian economy become more productive. It's also very important to recognise that reducing carbon emissions is a very important environmental goal. But the other environmental issue in our region, which gets less focus in Australia because it's not an issue here, but is air pollution. Air pollution is the biggest cause of environmental related deaths in our region. Anyone that's travelled to China or India or other countries knows very, very directly this problem.
Well, increasing coal power in India will hardly alleviate that problem.
Yes, it will, because it will electrify. Electrification is the solution there. I mean, Japan relies heavily on coal-fired power, but you do not have air pollution in Japan, because they use modern coal-fired power stations. These things have been around for decades. It's not a relatively new thing, but they use a efficient coal-fired power station that reduces or gets rid of, through scrubbers, gets rid of the organic matter and particulates that would otherwise be emitted from the burning of a coal or gas or whatever the thermal product is. That typically, in developing countries, there's less of that, because often people are heating or cooking primary fuels in their house, for example. And we still see that in Australia, where areas where there's large amounts of fireplaces and suburbs, you get sometimes some localised smoke because all the organic matter from the wood just goes up the chimney, right? But that doesn't happen in a coal-fired power station.
Significant.
But the more our coal is never used in those sort of domestic environments because it's expensive for seaborne coal.
Yep.
It is used in modern coal-fired power stations. So our coal, our gas, does help improve the air pollution of local economies.
You say there should be a market issue around Adani, that, you know, viability is a matter of price and return. If that mine's viability hinged on the extension of a loan facility from the government, from the Northern Australia Infrastructure Facility, would that loan be made available? Are you considering that possibility?
No, absolutely not. That was on the table a few years ago.
Yep.
The Queensland government decided to veto that and reject that. That's done and dusted. Adani has moved on. They've got their own financing plans. Now they have reduced the size of the mine and also reduced the rail investment they were going to make, partly because of that. That ship sailed.
On another issue, Matt Canavan, we've seen raids on journalists in recent days. The allegations from whistleblowers that formed the basis of those investigations by the AFP of Australian troops killing unarmed civilians overseas, and on the other case, agencies discussing plans to increase domestic spying. Is the reporting of incidents like that in the public interest?
Well, Jonathan, I'll say up front here, I don't have a lot of the detailed information on these cases. Obviously, the matter is handled by the Australian Federal Police, and that's done so at arm's length from government, certainly from government ministers, as is appropriate. I do support the laws of our country being upheld by the authorities. I think it's important to note here that my understanding, and I say this without detailed briefings, Jonathan, but my understanding is that these issues relate to the not so much the reporting, so to speak, but the leaking of sensitive security information, which clearly is a crime and has been for as long as I know. Crime should be investigated properly, as I say, by independent authorities.
If this had happened in the United States, it may well have been a crime, but that would have been overwhelmed by the safeguards to journalism of the First Amendment. Is it time for Australia to have a Bill of Rights, to have a First Amendment equivalent guaranteeing the freedom of the press?
Look, I'm sorry, I don't know about the premise of your question there. I'm not that familiar with US law in regards to this area.
So pretty simple premise, Matt Canavan. I mean,
what I would question, Jonathan, as I say, I can't be definitive here, but what I would question there is that somehow it wouldn't be a crime in the US to leak sensitive information. I mean, the US are, for example, certainly pursuing Edward Snowden. They're pursuing General Julian Assange.
But they wouldn't be arresting journalists for publishing their reports.
But that I come back to the fact that this is my understanding of what's occurring here, is that the issue is the leaking of information, whereas your questions are going to the reporting, which is a slightly different issue.
Matt Canavan, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Jonathan. Cheers.
Matt Canavan is Minister for Resources and Northern Australia. This is Drive here on RN.